Be seated, please. Do you know which is the oldest book in the Bible? It's not a quiz. I didn't know or couldn't remember until my son, the priest, mentioned it a couple of years ago. Answer, Job. That feels significant to me. The oldest book in Scripture, written sometime between the 7th and 4th centuries BCE, dealing with the question of undeserved suffering in the world. And of course, with human responses to that suffering and attempts to explain it. This oldest book deals with one of the oldest questions. Why does bad stuff happen to innocent people? Or as Rabbi Harold Kushner stated it in the title of his 1981 book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Spoiler alert, if you're about to read the whole book of Job at one sitting or Kushner's book, neither answers the question definitively. Nor has anyone else, so I'm pretty sure we would have heard about it. The important thing is that the unknown author of Job wrestled with the question thousands and thousands of years ago. Job and his situation and his friends raise the basic questions that plague all of us from time to time, questions that would begin with why or why should or why not, and so on. Today's reading from Job follows a sequence of theories put forth by his so-called friends, which boil down to something like, think, man, you must have done something wrong for all these horrible things to happen to you and your family. Or, and this is a direct quote, God delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ear by adversity. I know, with friends like these, who needs enemies? But the fourth being to address Job in our passage, the one in our passage, is the Supreme One. And we've read part of that response today. The tone is brilliant, a bit of divine sarcasm. Even before that in the book. Well, let's hear it from one of my favorite authors and commentators, Frederick Buechner. Just the way God cleared his throat almost blasted Job off his feet, and that was only for starters. It is the most gorgeous speech that God makes in the whole Old Testament, and it is composed almost entirely of the most gorgeous and preposterous questions that have ever been asked by God or by anyone else. I love Buechner. His memoirs and fiction and essays and sermons all speak to me as if coming from the mouth of an old friend. The point of today's passage is pretty clear. Neither Job, nor his friends, nor any one of us is God. Sometimes we might think we'd like to be, or that we could do a better job at it, until we come to our senses. This morning, I woke up thinking about our being funambulists, we human beings. Actually, I thought of us as tightrope walkers and discovered that fancy term only as I was looking up part of this on the internet. I was looking for the name of the fancy pole that they carry, the name for the pole that they carry, because that's the image I had in my head, somebody walking with on the tight wire with a pole. The pole, by the way, is called a pole. Or balancing pole. We're tightrope walkers. I know metaphors can become tiresome, and it's bound to fail at some point. But stay with me here for a bit. We're tightropers balancing between going off the wire on one side or the other. On one side is our confusing ourselves for God, thinking that we and we alone are responsible for everything that happens, good or bad. We fall into the error of believing we can control everything on our own. And then you have something like the opening hymn for today to remind us that we're not in control of much of anything. Well, thinking that way leads to some pretty crazy bad behavior. Shoving matches, imposing unnecessarily restrictive rules and expectations on others who obviously are not God, even to wars and genocides. So that's no good. On the other side is something like the opposite of that. We are certainly not God, and we amount to nothing at all. That's not the point of today's reading from Job, but it does emphasize the not God part of that line of thinking. It's what got me started on this. Taken to the extreme, and that's another thing we humans do so well, taken to the extreme, not being God can lead us to think, well, then there is no God. And all this world and the life in it is random and meaningless, and my life counts for nothing. I would suspect that many of us have been there. That kind of thinking, believing, leads to loneliness and despair and worse. So that's no good either. Bear with me as I push the tightrope metaphor just a bit more. It is guaranteed, as I said, to be imperfect, as they all are, but maybe helpful. It strikes me that our faith is something like the balancing pole. I won't go into the explanation from physics about how that works. It has to do with increasing rotational inertia. Just know that it helps. It helps us keep our balance. The net. You knew I'd get to the net, didn't you? The net is like the arms of God, waiting to catch us every time we fall and put us back on track. Always. All this can't be helped. The dream exerted itself after I'd written the sermon and called for this different ending. Jesus' walk on the water is not too different from God's thundering questions to Job. This is God in our world acting on our behalf. Paul's encouragement to the Corinthians may be the best for us as we make our life's journey as expert tightrope walkers. Expert, because we're made in the image of God. Paul writes, "See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of our salvation. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There's no restriction in our affections, but only in yours." Paul can't help himself. He goes on to say, "In return, I speak to you as children. Open wide your hearts also." And we pray for open hearts, to accept our role as people, just plain old folks, each doing our part in God's creation, each of us made in God's own image. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.